Programming is supported by Topline Construction Firm, your local women-owned roofing contractor based out of Shoreview, Minnesota. Roof replacement, both retail and insurance work. More information at toplineconstructionfirm.com.
If you are a theater goer in Minnesota and you've seen something produced by Mixed Blood Theater in Minneapolis, you know the excitement that happens when Jack Ruler puts on a show. Like the original Safe at Home play set at the seventh game of the World Series in San Diego.
Barry, my man.
Mike, good to see you. Mike, what the hell?
You like it? Let's go Texas. Am I right?
Like, you can't wear that.
Why not?
Well, not tonight. Why? Because you're in San Diego, not Arlington.
Exactly. Enemy territory.
Safe at Home was staged back in 2017 inside CHS Stadium in downtown St. Paul, where the audience walked around and watched scenes in the press box, a suite, a batting cage, and even the men's room. Where this guest of a diehard Padres fan shows up wearing a Texas Rangers shirt and Lone Star face paint. Jack Ruler founded Mixed Blood Theater back in 1976 as a summer project. And now, 45 years later, he is retiring. His final show opens today at Como Park Zoo, and it's called Animate. And Jack Ruler joins me now. Hello, Jack.
Thank you for having me. So glad to be here.
Yes. Well, good morning to you. Congratulations. If you are a theater goer, and again, if you have a story to share about Mixed Blood, we want to hear from you. The number is 651-227-6000. Again, 651-227-6000. You can tweet me at Angela Davis, MPR. Jack, you've had a long and fabulous career in theater, I would say. And that was some summer, the bicentennial in 1976 when you founded Mixed Blood. Tell us how you spent that summer.
Well, it was a bicentennial project, and I was 22 years old when we started it, and we wanted to put American ideals on stage to model not a world necessarily as it is or was, but how we'd like it to be. And it's supposed to be a summer project. Somehow we imagined that we could rid America of its isms between Memorial Day and Labor Day in an old firehouse in Minneapolis. And 45 years later, we may have made a small dent, but I think the best is yet to come for Mixed Blood.
I'm trying to imagine you as a 22-year-old. How would you describe yourself?
I didn't know what I didn't know, so I knew everything. I had been, it's almost cliched now, but a childhood disciple and devotee of Martin Luther King Jr. and his teachings and preachings. And during my college years, I'd been able to do some organizing and activism here and in Boston a little bit. And I worked for an organization called the Center for Community Action. And my job during college, I went to McAllister, was to seek out needs in the community and set up programs or propose programs to meet those needs. And there was a provoking incident at Theater in the Round. Actor Ernie Hudson was at the center of it, that really led me to believe. I was a zoology major. I was hoping to be a veterinarian. I was planning to go to vet school. And this really gave, you know, I took a left turn and I said, I'm going to do for the summer of 76, create this theater. And it's been a summer project run amok for 45 years.
That's a big turn. I mean, you were planning to become a veterinarian. Were you a theater kid growing up?
I was not. And I was planning to be, I wanted not only to be a veterinarian, but I wanted to be a zoo veterinarian so that I'm actually at the Como Zoo as we speak and doing the last show I'm directing. I'm still at Mixed Blood for most of the next year. But it's at the zoo seems life gone full cycle.
Yeah. Now, we'll talk more about the new show Animate in a few minutes, but I want to get back again to 1976. Mm-hmm. So tell me more about the decision to start Mixed Blood Theater and what is up with the name? I've always wondered about that as I've driven by and been there. You know, like, what's up with that name?
I wish I could give you a better story than the real one, but it was really a program of the Center for Community Action for its first 4 years. It actually didn't incorporate independently until 1980, and it really was trying in the melting pot theory, which were the prevailing racial politics of that time in America. People were supposed to pay no attention to difference, and I believe we and still do that we need to pay positive attention to difference. And this was going to be a platform in which we could smuggle our ideals across the border of reality and hopefully influence some folks.
And let's talk also more about the Cedar Riverside neighborhood in Minneapolis and the significance of having the theater there.
You know, I think that Cedar Riverside has always been a global village, that the people that live there come from everywhere. And so the mission of the organization is modeled outside our door. We've had a number of opportunities over the years by developers to move to another space, and they build us a new theater. And time again, the board, and I honor them so much for it, said, this is our neighborhood. We need to stay here. It defines who we are. And as Cedar Riverside has changed, Mixed Blood has changed, we could have easily become, you know, an island in the neighborhood. We'd been an anchor. And so as the neighborhood changed, we continually evolved and matured and reinvented ourselves to be vital to the community, or using what our assets, our artists, our facility, our art form, and our staff to create a healthy Cedar Riverside, with health being defined by safety and health care and education and employment and recreation. And so who we are and where we are linked. And so the fact that we're in this little corner in Minneapolis, and some of the influence we've had has been able to ripple away to the rest of the Twin Cities and then elsewhere in America, has been very heartwarming.
So do you feel that the location has had an effect on the work that you do inside the theater?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, and a lot of it is, some of it has been about playmaking, and other of it has been about mission realization through other kinds of things. Sometimes the performance audience relationship isn't the best one for the work we do in Cedar Riverside, but we're still using narrative and storytelling and other things to be a factor. During COVID, when theaters were shut down, and then after the murder of George Floyd, Mixed Blood became a food shelter, became a voter registration, became a census taking place. You could get flu shots there. You could get COVID testing. And so we just said, what can we do? Who are we? And how do we contribute in this time when we're in an art form that is about bringing people together for a shared experience, and it's illegal to assemble? And so we just changed our course and behaved that way starting in 2020.
If you're just joining us, we're talking to the founder and the artistic director of Mixed Blood Theater, Jack Ruhler, who is about to retire next summer, right? It's in July of 22 is when you'll actually be done, Jack?
It is in July of 22. You know, I have a one-line resume, and so I don't really see it as retiring. I'm just going to double the size of my resume.
You do?
And, you know, last year, you know, I was during primary season, I really liked Bernie Sanders and what he had to say and what his policies were, but I wanted somebody else to say it. And then I was speaking to a college class about how Mixed Blood works, and they said, oh, you're kind of the Bernie Sanders of theater. And then I looked in the mirror and realized, okay, it's time for someone else to be saying and acting upon the ideals of Mixed Blood.
The number to call if you want to say hi to Jack or share a memory of a show that you saw at Mixed Blood Theater is 651-227-6000. Again, the number is 651-227-6000. You can also leave me a message on Twitter. I'm at Angela Davis, MPR. And Jack, I think I read in one of the news articles about your decision to step down. You said that it's just time, that you literally, you looked in the mirror and like, it's time for me to sit down and let someone else assume this leadership role. Tell me more about that.
Yeah, I do think that, you know, I spent decades railing against old white guys, and then I became one. And I think that it's been across the bear for the organization. Who's leading this organization and what it's about? And I just think that the world on the other side of COVID and Twin Cities and where we're going can have some leadership that can really take it in great new directions. One of them, during the COVID period, Mixed Blood did a strategic planning process to really reinvent itself. So instead of being a playmaking organization that does plays on important topics, we're really going to be a progressive organization that uses theater as its platform. So instead of saying, look at these amazing stories we're telling, it's going to be, we want to be part of your story, and we will be asking and listening is probably the most active ingredient. To just listen and create the work we're going to create so that it has a sustained call to action. We're not going to try to reveal the change that needs to be made, but rather drive the change to be made. And I think it takes a different kind of leader with a different kind of sensibilities and aesthetics. So what Mixed Blood has decided it wants to be is actually something I am not fit to lead.
When we think about the role of art and theater, and how do you describe how that connects to social change? And can art be, you know, play a leadership role in social change and making us think about things differently and imagine a different world?
Yeah, and I think it can not only make us think about it differently, but it can actually have, a sustained call to action when we are done experiencing this piece of art, that we are going to go do something about what happens. And not only do I believe that, I mean, I've seen it play itself out over and over again in all sorts of arenas, whether it's in healthcare or the legal profession, criminal justice system, and just in, as we've tried to address key areas within race, culture, gender, disability, and language, we had seen over and over again that if people can see themselves on stage reflected in important ways, and what we're trying to say, people can see themselves, that change is possible and theater is the great vehicle for it. And I had a great long partnership with a writer named Syl Jones, who really helped us open portals in the Twin Cities that I thought theater would never be able to, and really have measurable change.
We're talking with Jack Ruhler. He founded Mixed Blood Theater in Minneapolis 45 years ago, and taking your phone calls and want to hear your memories of seeing shows there. In Minneapolis, we have Bill on the phone. Good morning, Bill. What do you want to say to Jack?
I'm just getting my speaker off. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you well, Bill. Go right ahead.
Jack, I was there when he founded Mixed Blood Theater, and I thought he was nuts. Because we're a bunch of basically hippies running a work youth employment program. And Jack came up with this theater idea, and I thought he was kidding. And he was a miracle on the phone. He could get on the phone and get things done. And I just thought it was amazing. But, Jack, I'd love to hear about some of your core group, like Del Roy and those guys again.
You want to hear some of his stories about who?
Well, his core group was Steve and the core acting group.
Oh.
That were in that, you know, that did magic together, whatever they did.
Okay.
And, okay. Dungeons and Dragons together, yeah, but sure. He had a core group that was really great.
Okay. Jack, what can you tell us about this
it
core
was.
Group?
So in that first year of Mixed Blood, we had 23 actors working three shifts, 9 to 12, 1
wow.
to 5, and 1 to 6, and 7 to 10. And we rehearsed, and we turned this old firehouse into a theater. And there was a national employment program called CETA, the Comprehensive Employment and Training Act, which was a federal program for low-income people. There's nobody more low-income than actors, usually. And so we had these 23 people that were paid through CETA. I think they got anywhere between $60 and $110 a week. And we turned this building into a theater, and we did six shows that really helped me make my decision that this was the career I wanted to have. But there was a core of people from Delroy that he mentioned. Delroy Calhoun was one of our first four board members and really guided us in great ways. And so that core, as a matter of fact, as we get to this year and I'm in my victory lap, many of us are going to convene and get together and celebrate the work we did back then and the work we've done since then. But it was a great body of actors, designers, technicians, writers, that everybody did everything. You were either tuck pointing the building, or you were rehearsing a play, or you were sewing a costume. I don't hearken for those days. They turned something that was nothing into something great. But those were really dedicated people that stayed for 4 or 5 or 40 years. And some of those people from the first year are in the show that opens tonight.
All right, let's take another phone call as we talk with Jack Ruhler, the founder and artistic director of Mixed Blood Theater in Minneapolis, with that one-line resume, because he's been there for 45 years. In St. Paul, Michelle's on the phone. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning. I've seen a lot of the Mixed Blood productions through the years, but last night I was at the Como Zoo.
Oh, you were there for the preview performance of Animate.
It is It's really, really good. I was there with two other people, and the three of us walked out of there having really deep conversations about the good of the whole, the individual versus the good of the whole. And they do such a wonderful job of stimulating conversation. So thank you.
I know. I'll have Jack describe this more, but Michelle, if you're still there, what was it like moving around the zoo to take in this performance?
Well, in a way, I thought, this could be Halloween. But they did it extremely well. The timing was perfect. And each section of acting really was stimulating. And it was great to see a lot of the old artists from the city performing in this. I loved it.
Oh, thank you, Michelle, there in St. Paul. Jack, Michelle likes Animate. So tell us about this upcoming show, your final show that you'll be working with Mixed Blood with. It's at Como Park Zoo. Why this play for your last play?
Well, you know, it has been a labor of love. Again, I originally planned to make a career in a zoo so that I get to do this show in a zoo. But it really is a play about race and philanthropy told through a lens of species preservation and conservation, and was developed during COVID. So we wanted to have a show that was going to be outside, was going to allow small groups of people to convene in safe ways and say some things that we wanted to say to the world. And so it is, it starts out with a helicopter landing, and then the audience sort of sees this urgent situation arise and follows this unbelievable cast of people that has Javita Steele and Sally Wingert and Regina Williams and Kevin Kling and Stephen Yocheman.
Oh, anyway, my gosh.
Really,
everybody's in this.
The best. It even has a video cameo by Don Cheadle, who did a number of shows with us early in his career. And and it tells this great story, really, that asks the question, as you've heard repeatedly, does the good of the many supersede the good of the individual? And it asks these. You know, there's moral decisions that are right versus wrong, and there's ethical decisions that are right versus right. And this is really an ethical question, a series of ethical questions that ultimately, spoiler alert, the audience has to help the protagonist decide. And so through technology and through this amazing precision of timing and through a great sound score by Eric Mason, the audience moves every 8 minutes and 15 seconds from the primate house to the hoofstock house to the big cat house to the polar bears. And you see these tremendous actors doing these great scenes that ask that question. But it's about a 100-minute experience, and the story itself is about 100 minutes long. So none of the actors change costumes. No props are shared by two people. Everybody is distanced. The audience is all masked. So we really created it to be a COVID-safe experience. And yet it is Mixed Blood's mission embodied and personified through these 20 actors in this 100 minutes. There was a point some years ago where I found that stages and seats and intimacy in plays were great, but they weren't the only canvas on which we wanted to paint. So we've done shows in a planetarium and in a baseball stadium, as you said, and in XL Energy Center at Fort Snelling, and a show about military veterans. And so it's just part of that experience of changing the relationship between performance and audience and having that call to action where you need to use your own judgment to make these ethical decisions.
You know, you've got me. This sounds fascinating. The upcoming show, it opens tonight. It's called Animate, and it's at Como Zoo. And so where do I check in? Do you go to the conservatory, or where do you begin?
No, right. There's a visitor center that sort of connects the conservatory to the zoo. And you check in there, and you take into this long porch that looks out over where the helicopter lands, and the play begins there, and you just keep
moving.
And, and the giraffes are there, and there's a sloth, and there's gorillas, and the interaction between the actors and the animals, which is never predictable or planned, is really part of the exciting part of the experience.
And it goes through September 26th, is that correct?
Right. So we have 12 performances between now and September 26th, and we think it's going to be popular, and we think you'll be glad to come back and sit. Some people are just applauding to see live theater and great actors again.
I'm sure.
And I'm among them.
All right. Again, as we talk with Jack Ruhler, the founder and artistic director of Mixed Blood Theater in Minneapolis, who is stepping down soon, we're taking your phone calls. The number is 651-227-6000 in Minneapolis. We have Josie on the line. Good morning, Josie.
Good morning.
Hi. What did you want to share with us about Jack?
Well, I want to remember Jack in so many wonderful ways. When my daughter Patrice was killed in the plane with Congressman Mickey Leland, Jack acknowledged that, had a program in her name at the theater. He has been, in my judgment, one of the early people acknowledging, respecting, appreciating differences. And I just remember Jack from a young man, not that he isn't a young man now, he still is, but I am grateful for the fact that he has been there and I have appreciated him and thanked him for the service to our community. Thank you, Jack. And so glad and hope you have a peaceful, restful time.
And Josie, before you go, is this Josie Johnson?
Yes, it is.
Oh, hi, Josie. Good morning to you.
Hi. Well, hi. Thank you very much.
So tell me, it sounds like Jack was having or starting conversations about racial equity a long time ago and getting people
Absolutely.
To start to connect and think about this in different ways a long time ago.
Yes. Absolutely. Don't you agree, Jack? You were very early in a community discussion.
Absolutely. But it was really, it's people like Josie Johnson that have allowed us to mature to become who we are. Josie sat on our board for a while, and I will just say, learned so much about activism and equity from Josie Johnson and people as influential as she's been in the community. Mm.
All right.
Thank you, Jack. Thank you. And thank you. Thank you very much, Angela.
All right. I'll let you go. Thank you for calling in, Josie. Let's take another phone call. In St. Paul, we have Mohammed on the line. And Mohammed, what did you want to say to Jack Ruhler?
Hello. Good morning to you and Jack. My name is Mohammed Yabdri. I am actor from Algeria. When I moved here in 2012, my English was French plus ing, so my first language is Arabic and French. Mm-hmm. And I remember meeting Jack for the first time, wondering to do my job here, but the barrier was the language. Mm-hmm. And he auditioned me in French. Mm-hmm. And I had a monologue in French and in Arabic, and that was powerful. And a few years later, I was in one of the production at Mixed Blood, and I had just an amazing experience. And I would like to say thank you, Jack, for that moment, because I feel like I found my place through Mixed Blood and meet people, and meet, I mean, audience, because it's very important for a performer to keep doing their work. So that's my story. I would like to share it with the audience.
Thank you, Mohammed. And Jack, how does that feel, having someone who auditioned for you say thank you?
You know, I will tell you, it wasn't like during an audition period. It was just the two of us in the theater, and Mohammed took the stage, and I just felt like I was in the presence of this global superstar. So how fortunate I was that he was willing to share his talents with me. And my gosh, I mean, he's really a remarkable performer and sort of a superstar TV hero in Algeria and other places. So, you know, I feel that about Mixed Blood's had a staff of five or six for most of its years. There was only one, it was just me for the first 4 years. And so we completely live on the shoulders of freelancers who are help us realize our mission. And so I felt so blessed with every artist who's ever shared their talent with us at Mixed Blood and the audiences that have come to see it.
Let's take another phone call as we talk to the founder and artistic director of Mixed Blood Theater in Minneapolis, Jack Ruhler, who is finally going to go sit down for a little bit after 45 years in St. Cloud. Jeannie is on the phone. And Jeannie, what did you want to share with us?
Hi, Jack. I grew up in Minneapolis, but I've been in St. Cloud for many years. I hope that the people you pass your wonderful program on to will consider doing outstate shows. We really need it. We need the message, and we need the diversity, and I'll be off the air.
All right. So Jeannie is asking about, do you have a vision for creating some performances maybe in greater Minnesota and some of the rural communities in Minnesota?
I will tell you, from 1980 to 2017, we had 13 shows that toured to every county in Minnesota, probably averaging about 300 performances a year, really under the super able guidance of Charlie Moore. And we haven't done it for the last 4 years, but there used to be more people would see our touring programs in a year than would see the shows in our theater in a decade. And so should we be there? Yes. And we were doing it we were doing those shows in different parts of greater Minnesota, not so that white Minnesota could learn about the other, but rather so that that rare person in those very white communities could see themselves on stage reflected in important ways. Mm. And that was really the heartwarming and sometimes breathtaking part of those probably 10,000 performances we toured over 37 years.
And Jack, I said you're about to sit down. You're not planning to sit down, are you? What's in your next chapter? What are you going to do you think, with your time?
I have a number of things that are still involved in social justice that may or may not be a job, but during COVID, I went to the law school and got certified as a mediator. I'm going to do some mediating. I'm talking to the Innocence Project about doing some work with them, and have a number of projects here and around the country. My family is 5 generations in the Twin Cities, and I'm not going anywhere. So you'll see me in the seats at many theaters, but you won't. I hope to be the second best artistic director in Mixed Bloods history a year from now, but I still am going to be agitating and irreverent around the Twin Cities.
And they're still doing a national search for the next artistic director, correct?
That's great. The board, under the capable leadership of Tabitha Montgomery and Bob Lenning, have really done a great job. And they've had it down to 12
finalists,
continuing candidates, and they're going to keep moving that forward.
Well, Jack, we are out of time. I'm so grateful that you gave us some of your time. I've enjoyed talking with you. If you want to check out Animate, it is running through September 26th, and it takes place actually at Como Zoo. Jack Ruhler, the founder and artistic director of Mixed Blood Theater for 45 years. This conversation today was produced by Susan Davis. Be safe, everyone. Have a good weekend, and I'll talk to you Monday morning at 9. Thanks for listening to a recording of my live radio show on NPR News. A reminder, if you want to catch the show in real time, tune in and call in at a new time, 9 a.m. weekdays on NPR News.